Sunday, August 5th, 2007, upon further review, episode number 44. This week we go dancing, hiking, batting, and throwing footballs around with our review of MySportsRadio.com, all of which goes to show you that our podcast can indeed be an active part of your active lifestyle. Bring us to the gym. Bring us to your workout. Heck, bring us to work and turn the volume up. Just make sure you let everybody know that you're listening to Upon Further Review, an active part of your healthy lifestyle.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
Okay, Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Claire.
And we want to welcome everyone to episode number 44. This is early August that we're recording this, which means that we haven't done anything official on this because I think we're waiting for our 50th show, but this is actually a calendar year, over a calendar year since we've been doing this show, which is pretty...
So we survived.
Pretty amazing. We've made it, and you guys were all a big part of it. We want to thank you guys for that. Everyone out there, Michael and Bernadette and AJ and Chris.
Have we heard from Bernadette for a while?
And Tim. Bernadette spoke recently. Tim we haven't heard from in a while.
Oh, okay.
So Tim, I'm calling you out. I don't know where you've been, my friend, but we need your contributions. But no,
okay.
And everyone else that, you know, Drummond elected, everyone out there who's contributed, we really appreciate it. And we've got a rapidly growing audience. We've had more and more listens, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch more people asking for reviews again. Apparently, some well-known people have gotten a hold of our stuff and think that, you know, want to get reviews from us, which is great. So
cool.
It means you're all doing your job and spreading the word. So we hope you'll keep that up. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few things that we want to talk about this week. And I just want to say that we got, as I said, a flurry of review suggestions and requests, and we are going to get to all of them in the next couple of shows, but not all this week. So if you don't hear your review subject, it's not because we're not doing it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we have to take a little time. So
we'll get to all of them.
Yeah. So from AJ gave us some suggestions. We've got Mike who gave us some suggestions, and obviously Alex from the show that we're reviewing this week has given us some requests as well. So we want to thank all of you guys for your suggestions, and we'll give you proper credit
right.
at the given part in the show. All right. So let's get started. We have three things that we're going to review this week. We're going to start out by talking about the hit show. I always wanted to say that. The hit show, So You Think You Can Dance, which is on Fox. And I looked through the reviewed items, and I could have sworn
that we
reviewed this.
Well, someone recommended it, and Greg said, think of like Mike. Didn't Mike recommend it or something like that?
Well, just recently? Yeah, well, I was going to talk about that. Yeah, Michael wanted
so
us
Mike
to do it.
So Greg's like, oh, Mike recommended this. And I was like, haven't we reviewed So You Think You
I
Can
think
Dance?
We may have just done maybe a short shout out or something. I could have sworn that you did something about that because Clea's been on this show for it. I mean, has been, you know, interested
on this
in the show. You should be on the show. You're talented enough.
Thank
no,
you.
But she's been.
I might have just done a shout out.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that might be what it
okay.
is. I know we did American Idol, which is from the same producer and
right.
somewhat same concept. But no, I guess we never reviewed the whole full show. So
well,
here we go.
We are all over this, Michael. Let me
oh
tell
yeah,
you. We are ready to go. So we're going to start.
We're So You Think You Can Dance professional.
Well, more Clea than me. I would consider myself.
I pull you in. You've even showed an portion of an episode one of your classes.
One of my creative writing class, sure,
right? Yeah.
because it fit. So we'll talk about that when we get there. So we're going to lead off with that. Then we're going to move on to talk about. This is going to seem a little odd, but we'll explain it. We're going to talk a little bit about hiking. This actually comes from AJ, who wanted us to review. I'll read you the email quickly. He said first he wanted to thank us for the quote tremendous assessment of Soda a few months back. Clearly, when we did the show, we never knew we were going to get an email saying we do tremendous assessments of Soda. But we appreciate that. But he had another request, which was the Appalachian Trail. Actually, I think it's the Appalachian Trail, I've told
yes.
you, specifically, or trail hiking in general. There's a site I've been visiting called trailplace.com that has interesting info. www.appalachiantrail.org is the AT Conservancy site. I'm intrigued by the topic, and I'm considering hiking a small piece of the trail next year to find out what it's all about. Thanks,
yep.
AJ. So we're going to talk about hiking more generally, and we'll talk about a little bit of the Appalachian Trail. We have not hiked it, but we have friends who have, and we have done certainly hiking in the past, so... We don't know about the specifics of the Appalachian Trail, but we're going to talk about the more general situation there.
All right.
And then third and finally, we are going to be reviewing the MySportsRadio website, and we're going to focus this around two podcasts, really one podcast specifically. Alex Reamer, who is better known as one of the things he's known as is the Phenom, the podcasting Phenom, is a 14-year-old podcaster who has gotten a lot of national exposure for doing a Red Sox podcast. He actually started 2 years ago when he was 12, and I think he was in fourth fourth or fifth grade or something like that. And if
he was 12, he's more like sixth, seventh grade.
No, I thought he said he was in sixth grade now. Anyway, the point is he was 12.
He's
I know that for 12. He's behind. He's too busy blogging. That's his fault. But anyway, he emailed us and said that he was interested. He thought that we did a great show and he wanted to know if we'd review the site generally. And so we've already reviewed Lance Williams' One for the Thumb, which used to be with My Sports Radio. And so we thought that we could talk a little bit about My Sports Radio generally and then also speak about Alex's show specifically. So that's what we're going to do in that portion of the show.
Do you think we've got enough like new listeners that we should kind of simply just do a quick explanation of our show, that we review anything and everything, and that we usually review three things per show?
Yeah, I think it's probably safe to do that, although you can get some of this information on the site too, which you can find at www.fortthereview.net.
All right. So anyway,
but yeah,
here we go.
Absolutely.
I did it. That's fine.
Okay, so there you go. Anything, everything, there you go. Okay.
All right.
So we're going to start out by talking about So You Think You Can Dance, and you can find this at, this has to be one of the easiest website addresses ever. www.fox.com/dance. Okay? That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do is go there.
Okay, guys, we're going to do exactly the same. We're going to review last night's performances first of all. Let's start with Neil. Neil, you took on that Mia Michaels contemporary routine, but you started with a Latin jazz number. Let's take a look.
Hola, everybody. I'm Neil, and I'm about to do a Latin jazz.
The positioning was all wrong. Your shoulders are up and over. Your head was forward too much. There are some places that look just awkward.
I didn't get anything from you, Neil, apart from, you know, all these girls out here screaming when you come out because you look sexy.
Here we go.
All right, start getting in the
Neil, unbelievably beautiful. I felt a performance.
You both did it brilliantly because you forgot about technique and you just danced. That is the magic of that routine.
And, you know, I grant you that there's a problem because this is on Fox.
Yes.
But, you know, The Simpsons is on Fox, too, so
yes,
it can't be all bad. And even Family Guy was on Fox. So, you know, I guess we'll give them a break on this one.
Yeah.
So, Clea, you should probably, you know more about this show, so you should really explain the premise behind this show and what it's all about and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it's somewhat along the same lines as American Idol in that they're not necessarily getting the best dancer out of the group. They're getting America's favorite dancer out of the group, who usually is one of the best, but is not necessarily the best. It's whoever's getting the most votes.
But they're better, though. As a general rule, I mean, I'll let you go on, but as a general rule, you'd agree that the quality that you find here is better, right? I mean, you don't have any Sanjaya like the American Idol disaster of this past season where this guy couldn't
sing at
all.
That's a good point.
You don't get that here, right? I mean, most of the people that I've seen, you're the professional dancer, I'm not, but...
No, that's a good point. I don't know if American Idol has just reached too many seasons, or, you know, to the point that they have weeded out too many of the good singers in America, and so someone like Sanjaya can get on, or if American Idol is more focused on things like persona and who they think is going to make a big statement, or if, you know, people can, you have to be able to dance, you have to have a certain bit of quality of being able to dance. And that means you kind of have to be in shape. That means you kind of have to be able to do this and that and this and that. So maybe that doesn't allow as much freedom of them to just choose like a good looking person or just choose someone of this particular race or that they might think. So I don't know. It's a good point. American Idol is in what, like their 10th?
Is it that far?
Or 8th season?
Maybe 8th, I want to say, yeah.
This is, So You Think You Can Dance only in their 3rd. So I don't know if...
It's also shorter. I mean, it happens during the summer and it's only, you know, I think it's only on... American Idol's on a fairly long time during each of those seasons.
So You Think You Can Dance 3rd season, it's pushing... It was pretty long.
Yeah.
The number of auditions, I think, was almost rivaling that of American Idol.
Well,
but yes,
said,
it is overall shorter.
And did you say it is the same? You said already that it's the same producer,
same
right?
Producer
that?
Of American Idol. Same producer of American Idol, but not the Simon that's on the panel of American Idol. It's a
right.
different Simon, which
we were really
confuses
confused
us.
About this.
but it's Simon Fuller is the co-producer with Nigel. I don't know Nigel's last name.
Lithgow, I think.
Of American Idol. And also so you think you can dance, but not the Simon that's on the panel.
And what's confusing is that Nigel Lithgow is on the panel, the judging panel of So You Think You Can Dance.
Nigel is, yes.
And Simon Fuller is not. And no. Simon Cowell is the judge on American Idol.
Right.
But is also a co-producer of the...
Who's on first?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway.
Anyway.
So we got through that. We think. But okay, so they're the same producers, and so they're used to putting these things together.
Yeah.
But you actually like Nigel. I mean, there's always a different panel of judges, and I'm sure you'll talk about that, but you like Nigel as a talent evaluator. He's not kind of a sideshow like Simon Cowell is, where he's sort of well-known for being deliberately sarcastic
and
everything.
Although I have to admit that season one, I watched a little bit of the auditions, but then I mainly watched like the main show of once they do the auditions, they get, oh gosh, I should remember this. I think it's like the top 20 dancers will, and they'll get to that a few different ways. Like they do the auditions, then they send them to, it's like similar, like they send them to Hollywood and then they wean them down to 20. And then the top 20 go to the So You Think You Can Dance stage. And then those are then weaned down to the top 10. And then at the top 10 point, it's a different voting system. So when you get to the top 20, at the end of each show, again, and it works like American Idol, where you'll have two shows a week, they break them up into partners, and partners have to dance. And the judging panel, they'll give their opinions, and then the voting audience will vote for the couples. And then whoever the lowest couples are, I think it's like the two lowest or three lowest couples are, the next day the judges will choose who goes home. But then once you go up to the top 10, the judges don't have as much to do with it. It actually really is who the audience is choosing. Not the audience, but America, who America is choosing.
Keeping in mind, of course, that as with American Idol, there is always the little ridiculous disclaimer that we could always change this if we wanted to, which I think takes totally away from the integrity of the show. But basically, there's always a little disclaimer at the end which says that the producers reserve the right to make the choices that they ultimately want to make. Now, I don't know whether that's ever been done. I would assume not. But I find it interesting that the producers have final say, even though they claim America's making the choice.
Right.
I wouldn't leave myself that out if I were them, but that's, you know.
And I think up until you get into the top four, they will do the same thing of letting one female and one male go. They keep the genders equal up until that point.
And they're down to six right now. Mm-hmm. Looks like it's 1, 2, 3 males and 3 females. Yeah.
So anyway, so season one, I kind of watched a little bit of the auditions and I watched most of the show. Season two, I watched more of the auditions and all of the show. Season three, I didn't really watch any of the auditions, and I'm watching those of you who know us, we have replay TV, which is like TiVo. I TiVo both nights, and I don't listen to what the judges say. I just watch the dance, and then I go forward, watch the dance go forward, watch the dance go forward.
Yep.
So I don't know much about this season, about how people are, but the usual thing is you have Nigel, who is kind of the Simon equivalent of American Idol, but he's not as harsh. He really is quite even-handed with his comments, and he actually gives feedback, usually, of some things that they could be doing better. Well, for the most part, Simon is sarcastic and rarely gives comments. Then they have the, oh, what's her name? She's the ballroom dancer. Go up, Greg, so I can see the name of the judge. Mary Murphy, who was who they had on Best Week Ever. Not had her on, but they reviewed her.
Yeah, they should have.
She's kind
obnoxious.
Of like the equivalent of Paula. She, again, is kind of she does this screaming thing, which she's famous for. But she isn't like Paula in that she doesn't just love everyone. She will say when things work, when they didn't work, and reasons why. Then the third judge will depend. It changes amongst the four or five main choreographers that they have. And they have a lot of different choreographers that come in. So that position could be lots of different choreographers that come in and will help judge and vote. So that's the voting system. And the overall, as a dancer, I think the quality of the dance and the choreography is quite strong. And it's very eclectic. You're going to see a lot of different kinds of styles of dance. So overall, I think it's a pretty good show. I think if you can Netflix it, it makes it even better. If you can't, I don't see this as something that anyone who isn't a dance connoisseur or a pop teenager could stand, because it can take a little bit long of them talking. the audience...
Audience is ridiculous. It's like, you know those Beatles concerts, the tapes you hear from back in the 60s where half of it is just like young girls screaming? That is exactly what
it
sounds like.
And I hate it.
Like.
I absolutely hate it. It's my one huge thing that I hate with the show.
Yeah.
And I guess they do it because it makes us think, oh, people are loving this, but I hate it.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, I agree.
And so if you can't Netflix it, you might find this thing a little annoying.
Yeah.
But if you can, like Channel Surf or something, you might go back and at least see the shows and you might see some really good dancing.
Or if you can tape it or, you know, DVR it and then pick and choose. I mean, I as Clea said earlier, you know, I actually have taught a portion of this in my creative writing class. When I opened up, I wanted to give my students some vision of different versions of creativity. And I used this one set piece that they had done on season two, which was choreographed to this song. And it was this really interesting. They had them in sort of zombie makeup in this day. It was really creative, interestingly done. And I do give them credit for actually trying gutsy pieces, things that are unusual, things that aren't just the sort of standard hip-hop garbage that you see passing for dance everywhere. It's actually sort of running the gamut of a lot of different styles, and different set pieces use those different styles. So I give them credit for that. But I agree with Clea. My number one, I really have a problem with the audience thing. I just think it's sort of, let's give you a show that's based on artistic talent and then bring it down to the lowest common denominator by having these morons screaming in the audience. Right. That's not cool.
Right. And I of course, would disagree that I don't think quite a bit of hip-hop dancing nowadays is garbage. But anyway, I just want to put that out there, that was Greg's opinion.
That's my opinion.
The show's.
I'm sticking to it.
All right. So, rating?
6. I think the show, I mean, because and the reason I say 6 is, I think that, number one, there is a major sort of problem with these kind of reality talent show search things, and that is that it's just by nature artificial. You're not getting the whole group of best dancers that you could get.
No, of
it's
course
much
not.
Better.
There's
much better than American Idol.
Making a living, and so they don't have to do this.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, so it's much better than American Idol, but I think that the sort of vision that's created there is questionable. I give it, you know, the fact that I'm giving it above average score is because I think that they have a lot of ideas figured out correctly. I think that the idea of, you know, how the judges are able to sort of moderate what the people in America vote for and they have them sort of working together for a certain period of time, I think is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the live presentation is well done. I mm-hmm. think the audience is terrible and should be removed.
Mm-hmm.
But other than, and you know, so that brings it down as well. But I think overall a 6 for me.
Oh man. Okay. I'll go along with you on that. I'll go along with you on that. Yeah. I think, though, if you Netflix it, not Netflix, well, yeah, if you Netflix it or if you DVR it or if you replay TV it, it can seriously take it up to an 8. But, yeah, the way it is now on the show, I agree with you. And I just want to say that I am voting for Sabra because I think that she should win this season. So there you go.
Wow, that's a ringing endorsement from the Upon Further Review staff. Go Sabra.
She's started late. She's a strong physically dancer and strong technically for someone who started late. And also, she really is quite emotionally expressive. And also, it's time for a freaking female to win.
Yeah. Okay. So, putting those things together, you have a vote for Sabra on
right.
the scroll.
There you go.
All right, 6 out of 10 for So You Think You Can Dance.
Okay.
All right, so next we want to talk about hiking and the Appalachian Trail. And there's a few things, I guess, that we want to mention about this. First of all, as I said before, we have not hiked the Appalachian Trail, although it is something we may or may not do. I will fully admit here that I probably prefer first of all, I prefer, as people will know, competitive sports like tennis or basketball or something to just walking. And I prefer cycling to walking if I'm given a choice between the two. So I will admit that hiking is not my number one
favorite
thing to do in the world.
And you're saying hiking is another form of walking, I presume.
Well, no, right. That's what I mean. I don't mean like walking around.
Okay,
I mean
well,
like
I would,
I mean,
I would disagree with
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Hiking.
On. Okay.
So therefore, that's not like I would rather cycle up the Appalachian Trail if I could do
that.
No,
I don't think you would.
Well, ultimately, I wouldn't. But if I were given the choice, is what I'm saying.
I don't think you would do that either.
But hiking, no, honey, you're misunderstanding. If I had the opportunity to hike or cycle, if the trail could be made level so I could cycle it, I would do that. You know. That's what I'm saying.
You're right. I'm sorry I didn't understand that. If the mountains could be made flat, Greg would prefer cycling.
I mean, come on. What is going on here? If I go to Disneyland, do I have to walk up a bunch of ramps? And no. It's all made nicely for me.
So,
but
anyway,
I come into nature, and I'm expected
God.
To...
See, that's so funny, because I was going to say the reason, but Greg told you the reason right away. The reason he doesn't like hiking is you have to go up hills. Okay?
It's true.
That's the reason.
It's really true. like these people are like, I want to go on vacation and relax. On a 26-mile, you know, exhausting hike is how I like to relax. So.
Yes. You know what's going to happen during this review, Greg, right? You know I'm going to tell the story, right?
What story? Oh, the Sumerian Gorge. Yeah,
I will
fine.
Tell the yeah, story of the Sumerian Gorge.
But I will say, having said all that, though, I will say, in fairness to myself... that in fairness to myself, I will say that I enjoy being in nature. I do enjoy, you know, sort of being outside and you know, enjoying that kind of thing. So
sort of being outside.
Well, no, I mean, I enjoy being outside and being, my point is that I'm not some guy who just sits in front of a computer and does nothing but that. Like,
no,
I enjoy
but
doing that.
You could have someone that would like push you through the scenery. So you could play your PlayStation.
That is
while
not
you're
accurate.
Outside.
No. That's not accurate because I love tennis and I love basketball and I love sports like that. So.
Well, see,
it's
this
not
is the
accurate.
Issue, right? Greg doesn't see it as kind of a competitive, goal-oriented thing to think that I want to get at the top of the mountain. Because that's the thing with hiking. You reach the end point. You've done it. You've accomplished something. But unless it's competitive, I guess, unless I race him up the hill or something, which he's not going to want to do because he didn't have to go too fast, he doesn't see the point of it. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't like nature, doesn't see the point of enjoying nature. It's just he doesn't see that as the kind of thing that
Thank
would be
you.
His first choice.
Right. And I just want to make sure that we're clear on that I do like nature and
right.
I don't want to just, you know, live my whole life
okay.
in a box.
We are all conceding that Greg likes nature.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Well, that's our show. I just got the point that I wanted to get across. But okay,
you think you could dance?
So I think I could. Yes, that was great.
Fans, please stick with us because it's not that we don't like nature.
That's right. But
right.
anyway, so I guess you want to talk a little bit about
So we're going to talk about hiking in general, but we do want to do a shout out for the Appalachian Trail Conservancy,
right?
Site that Mike gave us. It was
right.
Mike, right?
Yeah, I was right. It was Mike, and you can find that at here we go, www.appalachiantrail.org.
Great.
And if you go there, that'll bring you to the main site. And they have a whole bunch of thing about hiking the trail, protecting the trail,
it's
volunteering for it. It is a good site. And if you think about the idea, because it was actually in 1921 that they developed this whole idea of the scenic trail, and it was mm-hmm. completed in 1937.
And it starts in Maine.
It starts in Maine, goes all the way to Georgia.
Practically the whole side of the East Coast.
2,175 miles, which
awesome.
Is wild. And a lot of people talk about the idea that I'd like to hike it, or I think I'm going to hike it, or I'm uh-huh. going to... And there's a whole bunch of, you know, discussions about people who do, and, you know, what ends up happening is people start it and don't finish it. Like, our friend Jeff, for an example, wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail, and mm-hmm. said, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to do it. So he said he was going to set out with a backpack filled with hot dogs.
Yes.
And what was the other thing? Like, something
probably
else.
Beer.
Like, probably beer. And I pointed out to him that since he was going to be hiking in the summer... The chances were that the hot dogs were not going to make it much past a day or two.
I don't know. Maybe not. These
and
are
maybe
hot dogs.
Not even.
Hot dogs are actually one of those things you can bring on a hike or a camping trip where you don't have to worry too much about them.
Do you think, honey, if he's leaving from Georgia by the time he gets to Pennsylvania, 1,000 miles later, they might have gone bad? Like, I just don't have this image that make sure you bring non-perishable foods and hot dogs.
Well,
like,
again,
that doesn't cross
my mind. You're in the
middle
of the East Coast. I'm sure he could go and, like, restock every 2 days.
With more hot dogs?
Anyway, that's not the best example of our friends that do. I mean,
so the point is he got about, you know, a week in and gave up is basically what happened. And that seems to happen to a number of our friends. But I think one of the things that it indicates, and this is what I think hiking in general is sort of best at, is it gives people an opportunity to slow down. I think one of the things that happens is that even if you're living in a city like New York, for example, or a city that has major mass transit, you know, by not walking around, you end up spending most of your time, you know, sitting on a subway, getting out of the subway, running up, maybe going a couple of blocks. And if you ever go into New York, you'll see everyone's not looking at anything anyway. Real New Yorkers are always looking at the ground, sort of racing straight ahead to get to the destination. And that means that you don't see the world around you. One of the great things about hiking is that since it's not competitive, as Clea said, the one thing that sort of is important to keep you interested in what's going on is looking around and seeing birds that are on the trail, or seeing, you know, wild animals that you might find, or just the scenery and enjoying the fresh air and, you know, all
or
that
your
sort
companions.
Of thing. That's all part of the experience.
Or taking pictures.
Well, yes.
Or feeling the nice, you know, energizing endorphins. Sorry, I'll stop. Carry on, Greg.
I was just going to say, we could break this off into a separate show for you, if you'd like, about your hiking experience. I don't get endorphins when I'm hiking, I'm telling you right now. I get endorphins when I'm at the end and I'm sitting down.
All right, enough of this. So anyway, it goes through 14 states.
So.
And it's really awesome.
But the point I wanted to make was that you slow down, and that's really important to be able to slow down and see the world around you. And so the Appalachian Trail is an example of something where it goes through so many different states.
Yeah.
And there's so much of different scenery that you would see as you're going up the trail that you would really get a broad experience of being out in nature and getting a feel for the country. Yeah. So
just so you know, there are four threats to the AT experience.
Yes.
That is highway construction.
Housing developments.
We don't want people to have houses. Invasive exotic plants. That's really bad. People bring, and that's happens all over the country.
Invasive exotic plants.
Right. And declining air quality.
Declining air quality.
Which is just a myth, right? Because there's no ozone layer problem.
Right. And there's no real air. That's also an illusion. According to the Bush administration.
Anyway, hiking in general, I think, is an awesome, awesome thing that people should do, not only because of the exercise, but also because of getting out in nature. And I think that there's a few things you have to be careful with, though. You have to really make sure it is a sport. So you have to be careful about your shoes. You have to be careful to make sure that they're the right type of shoes, that you've worn them well, break down, you're wearing the right kind of clothing that's breathable, but also you can wear layers. You have to drink lots and lots of water, so you have to carry a good amount of water. And you need to be able to have food with you that can energize you.
That's right. If you remember our show where we reviewed the Camelback, the backpack water.
Camelback is perfect.
That's a perfect thing. That's the backpack that carries has a thermos, basically a canteen of water that's built into it with
great.
A straw that you can use.
Because also that way you don't have to hold the water bottle or stop, take it out of your backpack, pull it out. You could just have a nice little thing that attaches to your shoulder band.
Yep.
You can just pull up. That's great for hiking.
So take a look at our review of that earlier in the our show archive. You can
find
that.
It's also great for dogs. You can get them on some real actual walks and hikes, and they're really good. And
it's true.
Keep them on a leash, and so they won't go after all of the.
And I mean, if you're a fan of even if you're a fan, let's say, of national forests or national parks, I'm just looking at the map here of let's say the Appalachian thing. You would go through, if you somehow hiked the whole trail, you would go through about 8 different national parks and forests if you were going through the whole trail. And wherever you choose to hike, you're not going to be hiking, you know, in the city. You know, you're hiking generally in nature. So you're hiking in parks and next to lakes and streams. And so that really gives you an opportunity to not only slow down, as I said before, but see a lot of different things within that space.
Okay, so we were in Greece.
Oh, yeah.
And we were in Crete.
Here's the hiking story.
Okay, and my cousin had been in Greece for a few months. I love Greece, by the way. We should just review Greece. She had lived there for 3 months, and so she had told me a few things to do. She said, you really need to do the Cimmerian Gorge. So I say, okay, you know, Greg, this is one of those things. You're going to have to do it for me. And he's like, okay, because he's a very good person. So we get to the top of the Cimmerian Gorge. And it's about then that I remember that my cousin is an outdoorsy kind of person and very active. She lives in Maine right now. And
was in the military.
Maybe her recommendation might not be very good for Greg. So the bus takes you up to the top of the Cimmerian Gorge, which is the longest gorge in Europe. It's down on the southern southwest part of Crete. And the bus drops you off at the top of a hill. And for about, 7 kilometers, you walk down very slippery steps. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, all the way down into the gorge. So slippery. After years of people walking on it, that if there's any kind of precipitation in the air, they close the park.
Yep.
So you do that, passing the donkey that stays there at the top of the trail and walks through at the end to make sure that there's no stragglers at the end of the day. And then you walk for 17 kilometers. At the end, there's a nice little town there where you can dive into the ocean and frolic. So we do the Cimmerian Gorge, and I love it.
Yes.
Because majority of it is downhill or just walking straight through the base of the gorge. And I also, because of my asthma, I'm not very great with real tough hills. I can do a little bit in the down, a little bit down. This is all down and then fairly flat on the bottom. So it's perfect for me. I love it. Greg, on the other hand, is not quite as active as me. So after bottom... Okay. Well, I don't want Greg to cut this whole story, so I'll move on. The concept is a very grueling hike, and at the end of it, you have one of your, as Greg said, your best swim in your life into the ocean.
Yes, very grueling.
Then the next day, I get up, and I try to get up Greg to walk around to see the other sites that we're going to do in the town. And cute as can be. He's trying as hard as he gets up, and we go out. And everywhere we go, people look to Greg and say, Sumerian Gorge, eh?
Yes.
Because needless to say, he was having a little difficulty walking from the stiffness of walking 17
kilometers. I could barely
walk.
Yeah, it's the most sore I've ever been. I had been through this grueling walk. It's a miracle that I survived it. Made the experience then, and I believe you, there's nothing that made it feel even better than having every person in the world like, oh, ha ha, you're Sumerian Gorge.
Like,
yes,
really
ha ha, you're wonderful. I'm like, yeah, ha ha, jump in a lake, jackass.
All right, anyway.
So I wasn't very happy
Sumerian
about
Gorge,
the experience.
I highly recommend it, but just remember you're going to be sore for a couple of days afterwards.
I do not highly recommend it. So we definitely had
we passed a guy that does it once a week, right? Remember that?
Or
I guess he passed
which
us.
Which was a little bit disturbing. That's right, which is a little bit disturbing.
All right, so we're rating hiking.
Yeah.
And I, of course, would like to give it a 7 or an 8.
I would give it a 5. It's like I rated
it for other people.
It's not like I rated it a 3. I beg your pardon. This is an opinion show, my dear.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, of course it's a show that we're trying to use. It's an educated.
I thought we should be unbiased.
Well, it is unbiased. It's an educated opinion. Oh, why is it unbiased? My experience demonstrates that hiking can be painful. I think it has benefits. I think it can be good.
Life has pain, Greg. Pain with gain.
Yeah. What's the gain? What is the gain?
Oh, my God.
The
okay,
gain
seven.
Is that I got to...
I'm going to give it a 7.
5.
All right, a 6 then. We're giving it a 6.
All right, we're giving it a 6. Oh. Of course, there is gain. There is the gain of being out in nature, and there is the gain of enjoying those things. There is also the gain of being sore for a week and have people be like, ha-ha!
That was Sumerian Gorge, Greg. That was a unique thing.
I feel like I did the Appalachian Trail, and by the time I get to Pennsylvania, Appalachian Trail, eh? Ha-ha! And it'll be the same guy who did it for the Sumerian Gorge. He just flies around the world and tracks me down.
All right.
We give the Appalachian Trail a 6 out of 10.
Okay, but now we have to be careful. Because
we give hiking the 6
yes,
out of 10.
Yes,
I beg your pardon.
Yes, yes, yes. We give hiking a 6. We have to be careful now. Haven't we given out 2 6s?
Yes, but that's okay because
okay, so be careful.
We've gotten away from the 7, so that's good too.
Yes, but we have to be careful.
All right, we will be careful.
What we give to My Sports Radio.
Because we might be summoning the
devil. I don't
want
to summon. Right, do you want to summon the devil?
Probably not.
Okay.
Okay, our last show, last item on the review for review tonight is the MySportsRadio.com website. And you can find this at MySportsRadio, MySportsRadio.com.
Okay.
Barry Bonds will hit home run number 757. He'll hit it, ready for this, August 2nd at Dodger Stadium. Bud Selig will be in attendance, in case you're wondering, and he'll cheer with the amount of sincerity that you show your great aunt when you tell her that you're interested in how the doctors removed the corns on her feet. I know Barry Bonds did not hit home run number 756 August 2nd, although he did hit 7:55, August 4th. Now I played you that clip, listeners, because I just want to toot my own horn for a second, if that's allowed. I recorded that show, and it appeared, I should say, on March 3rd. Monday, March 3rd, that show appeared. And guess what? I was only a couple days off, because now the Giants face a horrible Washington Nationals team for 4 games at AT&T Park. The Nationals have bad pitchers, ladies and gentlemen. I think Barry Bonds is hitting number 756 this week in San Francisco.
And this is really a website that is a collection of sports podcasts. It says podcasts, blogs, and boards. There are message boards for all of the different shows and for a lot of different teams. And it's very American-focused, although there are a number of... I know there's a couple of soccer podcasts and things like that. And there are also things like poker podcasts and mm-hmm. boards and stuff like that. So it's a pretty wide range and covers sports more generally. But really, My Sports Radio has been founded on 2 major shows, which is the Steelers One for the Thumb show, which we reviewed a few shows ago, actually. Mm-hmm. That person, Lance Williams, has since left and has gone to his own site. I'm going to talk about why I think that might have happened in a little bit. And then the other big one is two podcasts run by a kid named Alex Reamer. And when I say kid, I mean kid. He is 14 years old. And when he started doing this podcasting, he was 12. A couple of years ago, he started. He's 12 years old. And he was actually the one who asked us to review the site. What makes Alex interesting, I think, and what makes sort of him this phenomenon is the fact that a 12-year-old, normally you would expect would have a certain level of knowledge about sports and a certain speech pattern. You know, you would expect that he would do something along the lines of, so then I said like this, and then he does like that. You know, you would expect that even smart kids, right, are the kinds of, they don't have the same kind of adult speech patterns. Mm-hmm. But Alex is different in the sense that Alex is very polished. You know, you get this sense that he's been listening for a long time. Right. He reminded me a little bit, actually, of our friend El Nacho, you know, who we reviewed way, way back at the beginning of this show, in the sense that, you know, that was also someone who was very smart and precocious type of person. But Alex even has more of a kind of adult polished model. And you get the impression as you're listening to him, this is someone you could hear doing sports shows and things like that.
Right.
And he does two shows, a wrestling show called No Holds Barred, and then the Red Sox show, Without a Curse.
Okay.
Which he's actually, he's been reviewed on, you know, he's been had a number of articles about him. He's been on David Letterman and Jay Leno and a bunch of other stuff. So his two shows and then Lance Williams shows before are kind of the major root of the My Sports Radio.
Okay, but you say a collection, but isn't it, I know you're going to talk about a little bit about this later, but isn't it not just a collection? Doesn't there seem to be some kind of cohesiveness around maybe My Sports Radio producers or something are saying you need to kind of have this kind of format and things need to be done a little bit this way and that
way? Well, the executive producer is a guy named Sam Cooten, and he, I think, is the executive producer for all the shows. And so all the shows have a very similar format. There's two basic kinds. One kind is a round table where basically you'll have a bunch of guys sitting around talking about the NBA or talking about, you know, baseball or something like that. And then you'll have other shows, which will be like the Without a Curse show that I mentioned, where you'll have one podcaster. Sometimes he'll interview people. Sometimes he'll just do his own thing about what's happening in the world of sports. And he will sit around and he'll talk about different things happening with his given team. But each of the shows ends up running about a half hour. Each of the shows has their own unique message board. And people, hosts talk about the importance of banging the boards, which means people go on and do a lot of message postings and things like that on their specific board. And all of the shows have what are called quick takes, where you can actually call in to the phone line, like we have a phone number ourselves that people can call.
And what's that again?
Voice messages. That is, I believe, 206-339-UFR1 is the number that you can reach us at. And, you know, then people will use these quick takes on the radio and call and leave these messages. So all of that is fine. You'd say, okay, well, that sounds fine or whatever. The thing that I've noticed, and I think this is why Lance Williams left and went from, you know, he took his show or basically took the Steelers knowledge that he has and went to his own site. He said he left because he wanted more creative control over his show. I think the problem is that all of the shows start to sound a little formulaic to me. All of the podcasters can certainly have their own opinions, and Alex is a very different, you know, sounding and thinking kind of person than Lance Williams is. But having said that, you know, they all have to do this, oh, big ups for the quick take of the day, big ups for banging the boards, the bang of the day goes to blah, blah, blah. And you get the sense after a while between that and all the commercials about mysportsradio.com and you should submit to the hottest podcasting site and you should advertise and you should, you know, it starts sounding very much like there's a little bit of a cookie cutter feel, I think, to the shows on the site. Now, I will grant that I've listened to a number of the shows, but there's tons, it's probably like a couple hundred, I guess, on the site. And I certainly have not listened to all couple hundred. I mean, that would be a little bit overboard. But from what I have listened to, and I've tried to take a pretty large cross-section, they all tend to have that kind of formulaic feel. Each individual show has some differences. Like, for example, Alex's show, I mean, Alex knows his stuff. He's smart. He obviously knows what's going on there. Alex is a little bit controversial, I'll tell you, in the podcasting world, because there are some people that find Alex to know a little bit too much. I mean, he even admits that his nickname in school is apparently the loudmouth. So Alex is kind of, he's got very definite opinions about things, and he's not afraid to let you know them. We certainly respect that here at UFR, but the way in which he presents them can be,
I don't say we know too much. They would say
definite.
He's blunt, and he's not.
That he's blunt and a little abrasive at times and things like that. So he can be a little bit controversial. And I think there are times when Alex comes across to me doing his show as a little bit too, look, I'm doing the sports broadcaster game, which which I think he should do less of. He's got enough knowledge that I don't think he needs to throw out the cliches and needs to throw out the, so I was sitting at Fenway Park and making the whole Boston accent thing. I don't think he needs to do that. I think he's smart enough and good enough to be able to do what he does without feeling like he's playing to an audience all the time. Because ultimately the audience will come and find him. And they're not just going to do it because he's 14. Right. They're going to do it because he knows his stuff. And he's got an audience that he's built up and a lot of people that like him. You can see why. But I do think there are times when he may sort of drift towards that model. But I think the point that I'm making is MySports Radio, I think, sort of encourages that kind of, oh, you're just like a sports broadcaster. And part of the point of podcasting is that you don't have to be just like a sports broadcaster. You can be professional but still be yourself. And I think, my guess is, that MySportsRadio.com has a tendency to sort of create a podcasting community where everyone sort of tries to be Mr. Sports Broadcaster. And I don't know that that's the best thing.
Okay. Yeah, because I was kind of wondering when I was listening to him in particular, is there anything that he says that you couldn't hear elsewhere? Is he kind of just, I mean, is he really bringing anything new or a new take or a new way of looking things or a new smarts to broadcasting? Or is it just he does things, I mean, not to say that if you don't bring anything new, you're not worthwhile. But I was just wondering, does he have a new take, or is it just that he's young and he does it well?
I think it's that he's young and he does it well. But I wouldn't say just that he's young. I mean, he also, you know, he interviewed somebody on the wrestling show that we listened to. He did a pretty good job with that. He certainly, as I said, he's got knowledge and he has a personality which works on the air. I mean, certainly, you know, as I said, he's you can listen to him and feel like you're comfortable with it. I just don't know that he sort of extends out of the box.
He's not
at
saying
times
any opinions that other people aren't
for the
saying,
most part, no. Well, no, I wouldn't say that's totally true. I mean, he has this take, for example, that he thinks steroids was good for baseball, and he thinks that people who don't think that are wrong. And that's certainly a little different from a lot of what you're going to hear. Okay. I wouldn't say he's a cookie cutter thinker. I just think that even when he presents different opinions, he presents them in this kind of way that you would be familiar with if you listen to a lot of sports shows.
No, he definitely sounds pretty standard.
Like, right. And there's
and
other
I can't
Red Sox
tell
podcasts
if it's
that
just
don't
because
do that,
that's so. The way he wants to do it, or again, it's like one of those, you know, like a 7-8-year-old singer who sounds like Barbara Streisand, you know, and obviously
yeah, and there's
she's
something
listened
a little bit,
to it over
right.
and over and over again. It's not necessarily because that's her voice. It's because she's a really good copycat.
Right. And that's right. Exactly. And that you sort of listen to that and there's something vaguely fake about that, or it doesn't feel right when something like that's going on. That's now we're not saying, I mean, we actually thought that, you know, I thought the show, I actually liked Without a Curse. I think Alex is pretty good at what he does. But I would say as sort of constructive criticism, not only for his show, but for MySports Radio in general, there's no need to be quite so look at me. I mean, one of the reasons he started his show was that WEEI, which is the main sports radio station in Boston, doesn't let callers below the age of 18 call in to do their stuff. And he thought that was ridiculous. By the way, I agree with him. I think that's ridiculous. You have screeners for that reason. If the person's not good, there's plenty of people who are over the age of 50 who don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
that
or they think someone might be a prank or something.
I mean, maybe,
age.
But it's just, but that's sort of what got him doing in the first place. Well, if that's what got him into podcasting, then don't go right back to being the radio people you don't like, you know, and that would be my argument. But I think that he knows his stuff and he's got a lot of good stuff going on. And I think MySports Radio relies a lot on people like him. I think he's really kind of the foundation of that website. And I think that his knowledge and sort of expertise and his little the buzz that's built up around him is really big to keep the show going. So what do you want to say for a rating?
Well, I think he could really benefit from having someone else do it with him. Could have created a little bit more of a banter. Might make it a little less fakey.
Yeah.
I also think that if he could be a little bit more picky and choosy about the voicemails he plays and that kind of stuff.
That's what I'm saying. That's the site that's making him, that's saying you have to play a quick take.
Yeah,
you
but
have
hopefully
to play
there's a better one.
there might not be.
Okay, well, so that's something he might want to think about too, right. About it. But maybe this is enough of support he needs. I don't know.
I mean, I hate to say this, he may ultimately want to make the same decision Lance Williams made and just go do his own site and you know, bring his people with him, and that way he
has
control.
If we're right about that, then yeah, maybe
happens.
He should.
Yeah.
But maybe we might be mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
not.
Inform us.
That's true. Maybe so.
Because we might. Well, no, because we've all other people. We've said that other people at their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s have sound fakey. So good. Okay. I just want to make sure we're not discriminating against him because he's young.
I'm not.
Yeah, I don't think we are. I just want to make sure we're not. Okay. Yeah. A 5.
That's a little higher than that. I would say a 6 because of the knowledge that's being expressed. I know you wanted to avoid the 666, but I think a 6 for me because, and remember, we're really reviewing the website here less than his show, but I would say as a whole,
that's why I gave it a 5.
Yeah, I'd give the website a 6 though because the website brings together so many different kinds of sports knowledge that I think it's worth it for that reason. I don't really like the design of the website, and
I don't
like
the
formulaic quality of things, but
I find it really not very easy to maneuver.
I guess I could do five. I guess the reason that I'm hesitating is because it is impressive how many people they've gotten who are knowledgeable about their sport who are on this site. And they do have some people that they've interviewed who are well-known people. So it's not like it's some little amateurish thing. I mean, they've got a pretty good, you know, presence in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I'm hesitating. But I know what you mean. I don't like the website at all. I think it's very non-functional.
But how much of that is just them providing a place for all of these intelligent people to have a forum?
That's it. That's true. Because I think if we were reviewing, say, Alex's podcast by itself, we might give it a 6 or something like that, or a 7. Whereas putting it on the website makes it more of a 5 because of the formulaic qualities that we talked about in the website. So putting that all together, maybe you're right.
The website doesn't show very much, like they put much effort.
And half of it's not functional. If you click on the socks without a curse picture, it goes to a page that says, you know, can't find the server. Yeah. And it's been that way for at least 2-3 weeks. I mean, that can't happen. You got to have somebody who's watching over your website. And that's not Alex is doing. He has no control over the site. That's them. So so I think, I agree. I guess you're right, Clea. I'm hesitating because of the knowledge, but I think you're right. So I would say a 5 out of 10 seems reasonable to me as well for the site. We want to thank Alex very much for the submission. And we think you got some talent, Alex, but maybe get out of MSR.
Maybe
not, but I mean, it's something to consider, I would think, long term.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to say very quickly before we end the show, speaking of reviews, is I want to send a shout out to Eric from the Just My Show podcast we reviewed last week, or a couple weeks ago now, because he actually sent us an email saying he really appreciated all the things we had to say about it. And he actually point by point went through and said,
yeah, that was really
this
great.
Is why I did the show, I had the name, and I'm working on the audio quality, and I'm glad you like the booking because of this, but da da da. And he's like, I just wanted you to know that I really appreciated that. That's great, because we really appreciate that, because it makes us feel like our criticism was, we were trying to be constructive. We think it was. And we liked his show, too.
Yeah, one person, I don't know if they made a post, but they sent an email saying, I loved your show, but, maybe you guys are a little too harsh on him. We don't want to discourage him. You know, we try to make a point of just really being honest, because we say this over and over again. We want to help people make their show better.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I think 80% of the time, we usually get emails back from the people talking specifically about the things that we've said and saying how they might integrate or may not integrate what they say.
Right.
So that's kind of given us the oomph that we need to kind of continue what we're doing. And again, we totally are doing it so people can help make their show better. It's not so that we're trying to put them down.
And to capture fame and fortune. That's the other reason we're
given.
Doing it.
Hello.
I'm sorry. That was the baseline. So we want to thank you very much, Eric. That's really cool. We want to thank everyone else out there for listening as always. Continue to send in those suggestions for review. We have a bunch that we're going to get to next week as well, but please keep sending them in, because we can save these things and then we can step by step we will get to all of them. So thanks a lot, you guys. We will talk to you soon upon further review. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you next week. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!